doing that, getting together, doing that.
Number 16, if we're going to the book of Numbers, in the same morning, number 16. Number 16, and brethren, we're going to pick up at verse number 41. Number 16 is an awesome chapter. And what I mean by awesome in the sense of, whew, you see that God didn't play around. And you see how stubborn and obstinate man can be. All of us. Number 16, don't you look at verse number 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath going out from the Lord, the plague has begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. But 14,000. 14,000 people. That's the size of so many. How many cities do you know? I mean, 14,000 people, brother. 14,000. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to pay attention this morning. Help us to pay attention. Help us, Lord, to heed your word. Father, I pray that your spirit would deal with us where we each and everyone, where we all are as individuals. And Lord, may we not be stubborn and resistive. And we ask these things, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Okay. Now, you know, if you know number 16, and you know what we've been going over on Sunday mornings, you know what's happened up to this point. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram have rebelled. They rebelled. They said, you take too much upon you, Moses. All the people are holy. And the thing of it is, Korah had a position. He was a Kohathite. Part of his tribe, they got to carry part of the tabernacle. That was an honor. But he couldn't be satisfied with that. He rebelled. He wanted the priesthood. And so we know what happened, that Moses said, okay. You know, like I said, it was showdown at the Tabernacle Corral, buddy. They went, they said, you guys get censers, and Aaron will get his censer, and we'll see what happens. And the congregation was gathered together. And the Lord told Moses, tell them to get away from the tabernacle of Dathan and Abiram, and they did. And Moses said, okay, if y'all think I've took this on myself. Well, if I've done all this at the commandment of the Lord, may the Lord do a new thing and open up the earth. And it did. And the earth opened up and woof! There went Dathan and Abiram and their families down quick into the pit. And the earth closed up. And everybody ran. And then fire went out from God and slew those 250 men. Whew! Now you would imagine that would get your attention. You would imagine, brethren, after seeing the earth open up and swallow up those rebels and their families, and then fire comes out from God and slays those 250 men who offered that wrong fire, those censers and that fire, you would think that after seeing that, the people would have been like, man, you got to tell me once, but thank the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, I won't make that mistake again. I tell you what, I'm so glad God's been merciful to me, and I won't let that happen again. Well, I'll be. Won't you take your Bible, look what happened. Verse 41, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Let me say this, let me break this down. Notice it says, on the morrow, but on the morrow. Brethren, in your life, the next day can bring good or bad. Things can seem better in the morning, or things can seem worse. Let me tell you something. How often have you gone to bed and thought the whole world was going to fall to pieces. The next day, it wasn't quite that bad. It wasn't quite that bad. And that, but sometimes things can be worse. Now, notice something. To the children of Israel, they get up, and man, this thing's going from bad to worse with them. But it's their own fault. Moses and Aaron, you would think, poor Moses and Aaron, you would think that they would be thinking like, well, Aaron, it's rough. It's a rough day. But hopefully this will be for the good, and everybody will see. We know it's going to be for the good. God always does good and right, but they'll see it, and everything will be all right. And amen. Maybe it'll be okay. And the next morning, Moses and Aaron gets up. Moses wipes his eyes and look at what is going on. And the whole congregation is coming. The whole congregation is coming. Maybe Moses is thinking, well, maybe they're coming to say, Moses, we've learned our lesson, and boy, we thank God for how good he's been. No, sir, that's not what's happening. Won't you hear me? This will be real good. Things wouldn't have looked so bad and been so bad for the congregation if they had been thankful. They should have given thanks for God through Moses saving their lives. You see, listen. Take your Bible, go back to verse 23. Look at Exodus 16:23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in their sins, in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. So, we know what happened. God, in His mercy, told Moses, go tell the people to get away from the tents of these wicked men. Moses did his task, and thankfully the people obeyed, and they were spared. They were spared. Now, you know what they should have done? The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Brethren, what they should have done, they should have got up that morning and said, God, thank you. Lord, I could have been holding that tent stake when that ground... Because the Lord said, Moses told him, said, look, get away from the tents, lest you be consumed. Because everything they had went down there. Lord, I could have fallen in there. God, I could have been gone. I could have been caught up in that rebellion. God, thank you for your mercy. But they weren't thankful. Listen to me. Child of God, be ready. Just because God has taken care of things doesn't mean that the devil and his crowd won't try again on the morrow. Be vigilant. Now, but let me say this. This thing about giving thanks. Brethren, listen to me. It's hard to stay upset about somebody if you give thanks for them. Listen. Be it a couple, a marriage, a relationship, family, children. It's hard to stay upset about somebody if you try to thank God for them or pray for them or give thanks. Listen, if you would take and give... The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you would learn to thank God in all circumstances, you can't imagine how that thing will help your attitude stay right. You see, Brother Dawson, I can't see anything to give thankful this thing for. You don't give thanks because you can see what you're supposed to give thanks for. You give thanks because God is good. He's the Lord. You're His. And He tells you to give thanks and you trust Him. The Bible doesn't say that everything's good. It says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Brother, individual instance in your life may not be good, but God's going to couple them with other things to make good. You know what salt is? Salt is something that's good tasting and your body needs it. Salt is NaCl, sodium chloride. Taken by themselves, those things are poisonous to you. Now, sodium and chloride by themselves could be poisonous to you. When you combine them, it makes table salt. Something that you've got to have, your body must have to exist, and it tastes good too. By themselves, they can be dangerous. Coupled together, they work for something good. The Bible says, that verse doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. So there you go, brother. So you know what? You might not understand this one thing that you're going through, that's happening. But thank God for it. If he's whooping your tail, thank God that he's chastening you because you're his. And say, Lord, help me to learn the lesson you want me to learn. Help me to understand this thing. Listen, if it's a matter of you just don't understand, but you don't feel like the Lord's putting a whooping on you, just say, well, Lord, I don't understand. I don't think you're chastening me. God, you do best. You do all things well. And I trust you. All right? Give thanks. And again, brethren, listen, be ready. Moses and Aaron, you would imagine that the next morning they were like, maybe we'll have some peace around here for a little bit. Maybe we'll have some peace. No, sir. This thing will get ready to get worse. Brethren, just because you've seen God step in and do something, you may breathe a sigh of relief, but you better stay watchful. You better stay vigilant. Brethren, you cannot relax your vigilance until Jesus calls you home. You've got to stay on guard. So watch what happens. It says, number 16, verse 41, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The word murmur in the dictionary means to grumble, to complain. Brethren, murmuring is the spirit and beginning of rebellion. Murmuring is rebellion, and it's the beginning. It's the spirit of rebellion, and it's where rebellion starts. Somebody starts murmuring. Well, you know what? You know what I think? I think that Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so or the pastor, I think. But murmuring. That murmuring, grumbling and complaining. Listen, either pray about it, go talk to someone about it. But brethren, listen, do something or stay quiet. Really. But the Lord Jesus said, if thy brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. Look, either you deal with it or leave it alone. If you can't go to the person about it, then you've got no business going to other people about it. Do you understand? If somebody's done something to you personally, either you go to them to rectify it or keep quiet. It must not be a problem then. It must not be a big problem. Seriously. Listen, the murmuring. Brethren, murmuring is a sign of discontentment and unthankfulness. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to murmur when you give thanks and serve someone. It just is. Brethren, it's hard to murmur if you thank God for someone. Oh, I got to thank God about it. Well, and I know, brethren, there may be situations where really, I mean, you look, I understand. But look here. You don't need to let something consume you. And in most cases, you can find something to give thanks about. That's not pretending that the problem isn't there. And if you've done all you can do, but still, brethren, you don't need to let bitterness, a root of bitterness, find its way in your heart. It'll eat you alive. Bitterness will eat you alive and it'll spread. Again, it's hard to murmur when you give thanks for someone and when you serve someone. It's just like washing somebody's feet. It's just like washing somebody's feet. I'm telling you, brethren. I'm telling you. You can think what you want to think about it. It don't matter to me. But I'll tell you something. One of the greatest things that could ever happen in a lot of churches across this land is to get down and wash each other's feet. I'll tell you right now. You know what, brother? Look here. I mean, you know, whenever we send out missionaries here, when Brother Niels went out, Brother Chris, you know what we did? The men washed his feet. He washed our feet. You ladies washed Melanie's feet and Wendy's feet, and she washed y'all's feet. And that's good. You know why? Because let me tell you something. It takes that missionary, by that missionary washing the feet of others, it lets them remember that, you know what? You ain't different than nobody else. You know what I'm saying? To where they don't get this attitude of, you know, missionary. No, you're just a servant of God like anybody else, doing what God's called you to do. And you bet, amen. You know what I'm saying? And it teaches the people that we're to serve. And it's humility. Brethren, it's hard to get attitude with somebody when you're washing their feet. But you know what, people today, you watch. You bring that thing up, and I know it's not an ordinance, but watch this. You bring that to folks, that's not an ordinance to the church. Hey son, never said it was. What's your problem, man? Exactly. Human. We don't have to do that. Nobody said you did, pal. What's the problem? What's shook up about, man? What's the matter, man? I love you. I tell you what your matter is. You're full of pride. I don't give a rat's rear end what you think about it. You are full of pride, man. That thing, look here, to where you can't take and wash somebody's feet. Your Savior did. He did it as an example. No kidding. Thank you. And your point is, right, as an example. To prove a point. Right, exactly. I'm telling you, brother. The Bible says one of those conditions for those widows who are taken into the number, What's one of those conditions? That she washed the saints' feet. I know we're in a different culture today. I understand that. That it was a thing to where used to, that was a thing when you went to somebody's home, your feet were dusty, you provided the water or washed them. But see, the problem of it is, you know what it is? It's, brethren, come on. It's a thing about brethren, we are so messed up today in our churches. You understand? We're so messed up that you can't even today apply what Paul said, told the local, commanded the local churches to do. You can't do it today because people are so screwed up in their heads. He said, greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Are you kidding me? You can't, man. You're doing good, man. You give some fellas a hug and they're like, nah, nah, nah. Well, you see, you got a problem. As a believer, I love you. I'm not trying to be mean. Honestly, I'm not. I'm not trying to be mean. But something's boogered you up, man. God didn't get you that way. God didn't get you that way. It has nothing to do with manliness. Are you going to tell me Paul wasn't a man? Are you telling me the Savior wasn't a man? What are you talking about? We've allowed this world to mess our minds up so much we can't even, man. Sorry you can't even give him a hug. Much less try to put a holy kiss on him. Great day, son. That man, it'd be on, man. Man, old Brother George back there. Brother George, he blessed. George put a holy kiss on me one time, man, right there on top of my head, man. He did. We was at the church. We all gave me this visitor, something like that. I said, George, I love you. Gave him a head, no more pain than one right there on my head, man. What'd that do? Well, blessed the fire out on me. I appreciate it. Ah, brethren, look here. I'm just telling you, look where we're at today. Look where we're at today. Look. So you tell me anybody's any different now than they were? Come on, man. People are, you know, but we've let. I'm telling you, brethren, look here. This world has got into the saints' thinking more than they even realize. Just telling you. Look here. I've always told me this thing about washing feet. Brother, don't worry. Don't worry. We do it when we send somebody out. But think about that. Think about that. Here the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God manifest in the flesh, could take the feet of those disciples knowing they were going to forsake Him. They were all there, Judas too. Knowing Judas is going to betray Him, Peter's going to deny Him. He could wash their feet. And we recoil. Man, preacher, feet's dirty, man. I was no kidding. Yours and theirs. Preacher, I'd do it if I get a pedicure first. That's the whole problem. See, you do it as long as you, because you can feel good about yourself. Brethren, do you know, brethren, what we are like compared to God and His holiness? But the only good that you've got is Jesus Christ. The only thing right about you is what you're allowing God to do in your life. Oh, brethren, really, really. May God help us to have a right view of what we are outside of Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'm just telling you, brethren, you wash somebody's feet, it's hard to get an attitude against them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody washing your feet, saying, brother, I love you and I just hope I can serve you. It was hard to get an attitude. For either one. I'm just telling you. No problem though, brother. Believe it. You preach in churches, ain't gonna happen, man. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. They will. Well, brother, that's not an ordinance. I never said it was. But is it prohibited? Well, just save it. Talk with God about it. But Wayne does that. Over in New Guinea. Those guys graduate the Bible Institute there. They wash the first year students wash their feet, I think, or how he does it. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. May God help us, brethren. May God help us. We've got so stuffed and so dignified and so serious. Brethren, may God help us. Judgment seat of Christ is just around the corner. The Lord's return is coming up. May God help us to be right and be humbled like we ought to be. Anyway, watch this. Let's go on. Look what they say in verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Brethren, people of the Lord, ye have killed the people of the Lord. People of the Lord. Who died? Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and 250 rebels. But you look at their attitude. Ye kill the people of the Lord. Brethren, this is scary. Brethren, it is a sad and scary case when people have no discernment. Take your Bible to 2 Kings 18. 2 Kings 18. Verse 22. I want you to look at this thing. 2 Kings 18:22. Look what Sennacherib said. But if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Man, brethren. Do you know what Hezekiah was a good king. A real good king. Do you know what he did when he came in? He got rid of some pagan, idolatrous stuff. He did right. But people were so unused to right and so used to the wrong that when you took the wrong away, people thought you were taking the right away. That's scary. Sennacherib was able to tell. The situation had gotten so bad in the land of Israel that Sennacherib was able, or to Judah, that Sennacherib was able to say, Hezekiah has taken away the worship of God. He took away idols. But that's how bad things had gotten. Brethren, people get so used to the wrong that when you take it away, they think you're taking away the right. Brethren, may God help us as individuals and churches saying, Lord, search me, try me, and know me, and purge me, and cleanse me. And Lord, help me to be what you would have me to be and be correct and be right. Brethren, just because things get accepted as tradition in a church, because that's what's always been done, and down, but is it right? Is it biblical? Is it correct? Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. You've taken away the worship of the Lord. He took away idolatry. He took away idolatry. You've killed the people of the Lord. They were rebels. They're rebels. God judged them. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. And verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination of the Lord. Brother, look here. You better call something what it is. You better call something what it is. To justify the wicked and condemn the just, both things are equally an abomination of the Lord. An abomination. Listen, brethren. Understand this. There's a proper biblical judgment. There's a wrong biblical judgment. Look here. If you see, I've told you before, but if you see me out hopping to bars, I mean, saying nothing else to do with church, hitting the bars, running around, partying around, and you said, Brother Doss has gotten himself away from God. Brethren, that's true. That is not a judgmental statement. That is a true statement. Now, if you say, you know what? He never knew God. That joker. Whoa, now you're judging on a matter that you don't know nothing about. Now you're talking about something in the heart that you can't see and know about. That, hey, look, if I'm out there, brethren, doing ungodly, that's a fact. That's wrong. But matters of the heart. Or to say, you know what? He's never. Whoa. Now, you know what you're talking about. Or to say, or take an attitude. I can't believe he would do that. How could anybody do it? Whoa! I understand how anybody can get in a mess. You understand me? Brethren, I don't shake my head and go, can you believe? Yeah, I can believe it easy. Yeah. I mean, it seems like the old time songwriters understood it too. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Yeah. The old hymn writers understood it. Prone to wander. Yeah. Prone to leave the God I love. Isn't that the frustrating thing, child? Now, if you're not saved, you have no clue what I'm talking about. But if you're saved, ain't that the frustrating thing, man, to where you love God? I mean, man, you love God. And yet this flesh so wants to serve itself, so wants to do what it wants to do, and you yield to it, and you're upset because you've upset. But, you know, you've disappointed God. You upset yourself. You're just a cantankerous then. You know what I'm talking about. Because you do love God. You love Him. And yet you go and you yield to that flesh. And half the time the reason you get so ornery is because you're mad at yourself.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying, brethren? You're just so mad at yourself. You know, and understand that. Listen, husbands and wives, if your husband and wife, if they're ornery, probably what it is old booger done something he knew he shouldn't have done, and he feels bad about it because he's upset, he's disappointed in the Lord he loves. He's disappointed God and he hates it, and he's upset himself and wishes he could kick himself, and that's why he's so irritable.
Amen.
Just understand that it ain't you. You're just the one that's kind of getting took out on a little bit, but it ain't really you. It's frustrating. Because we do. I like that. Boy, what a blessing. That hymn writer being so honest. Prone to wonder. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. I'll take and seal it for thy courts above. That's it, brother. Don't you get attitude like, I can't believe you. Everybody's got their little pet thing of what? Boy, can you imagine somebody would do that? Everybody's got their little pet thing like that. Man, I can understand how anybody do anything. Take your Bible and look at Colossians 3 and you look at what Paul warns believers not to do. Colossians 3, Paul's talking to believers, and look at the things he tells them to mortify. Oh, brethren. Brethren, if you or I don't stay in that book day by day and try to pray and try to stay around the brethren and encourage one another, it's amazing how quickly you can get out of the way.
Amen.
Brethren, you know the problem with getting out of the way with God is not that you can't get back. It's that you've now given ground for the enemy to beat the snot out of you. It's not that you can't get back. You can. It's just the devil, he wails on you and says, you can't, you're wretched, you're rotten, you'll never get it back. And he's beat you down. And that's the problem. What you got to do is plant your feet, square your shoulders and say, I am complete in Jesus Christ. He's my righteousness. His blood's there to avail to restore me to fellowship. I've confessed it and I'm moving on. And get up. And go on. That's the problem. The devil just beats you the daylights out of you about that thing. Look here. Matthew 5, look at verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And the reason I bring that up, about saying all manner of evil against you falsely, what did they just say to Moses and Aaron? Ye've killed the people of the Lord. Moses didn't kill nobody. Moses didn't kill nobody. The Lord did. But you know what may be happening here? Just a couple things. It may be that the people have so deluded themselves that they're making an assumption that Moses and Aaron killed these men by their own power. Because if you remember, what did Moses and Aaron do? Now, it was a God. It wasn't Moses and Aaron. But what did they do in Egypt? Do you remember? Remember what Moses and Aaron could do in Egypt? Take that rod, bud. Make that thing turn into a snake. Take that rod, part them waters. Bring blackness, bring a locust. You know what I'm saying? So, but it was God. But He was doing it through them. So it's like they're making an assumption here and saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. I'm just going to tell you something. Fellas, look here. And y'all remember this. Any of you guys in here, the Lord calls you to anything to listen. You better understand this. And don't get down about it when it happens. Most people are afraid to shake their fist at God. So they're going to shake it at you. You understand? Most people aren't going to plant their feet and go and shake their fist at God and say, ew. So they're going to blame it on you. They're going to say, God didn't tell you to say that. That was you doing that. And they're going to put it on you. And it's fine. That's just the way it goes. It just comes with the territory. Don't get upset. Don't go around going, poor. No, it just comes. It's the way it goes. It's just part and parcel of it. Just love folks. Don't get bitter. But understand it's going to happen. All right, now watch. Look here. Listen. People are going to believe what they want to believe in spite of all evidence to the contrary. Start. You cannot please the crowd. Go to Matthew 11. You cannot please the crowd, so don't try. Matthew 11, verse 16. Some things never change. Matthew 11, verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children. Sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellow. I mean, the Lord said, I mean, thy precious Lord. Called the Pharisees serpents and vipers and said the whole generation was like children. Sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. It's like, you won't play right. You won't do right. We pipe, you don't dance. We mourn, you won't lament. He says, look, for John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. That's just what it's going to be. Here's John, right? Here's John, spirit of Elijah, out there in the wilderness, right? Wild man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, locusts and wild honey, girded with a leather and just a wild fella. He was a type of Elijah. He probably was a hairy old fella too, like you can imagine, you know. He's out there in the wilderness, just something you can imagine, right? Eating locusts and wild honey. You know what they said? He's got a devil. He's got a devil. Well, here comes Christ. Sociable in the right sense, if you understand what I'm saying. He'll go to your feast. He'll clean you. He'll tell you the truth there. But he'll go. He'll eat with publicans. See, John's out there in the desert, man. Jesus is there with the people. You know what they said? He's a glutton. He overeats. He's a wine bibber. Look at him. You can't please nobody. You understand that? If you try to pander to the crowd, you're never going to please him. People are going to believe what they want to believe. And the scary thing is, God will let you believe it if you're not careful. That book is so set up that if a man doesn't want the truth, it's set up to deceive him. Do you understand me? That's an awesome statement, but you need to understand it. The Word, little w, Scriptures, and the Word, capital W, Jesus Christ, they're similar in so many ways, but they both are established to deceive a man if a man doesn't want the truth. Look how Christ came. Here's what I mean. Look how Christ came. Everybody thought, no prophet comes from Galilee. Where was he originally from? See, it's interesting, isn't it, brethren? There are so many things about Jesus that looked deceptive unless you were willing to dig and find out. But most people didn't want to dig and find out. They were willing to have the surface inconsistencies serve to satisfy their lack of love of the truth. Do you understand me? Listen, there were surface inconsistencies. Look at Jesus. He comes to be baptized. Baptism by John was for repentant sinners. But if anybody had looked closely, Jesus' baptism was a little bit different. The Bible says people came to John confessing their sins. Jesus wasn't confessing nothing. Amen. He was fulfilling all righteousness. He was identifying with man. But note, there was a little bit of difference. He wasn't confessing anything. So it almost looked like, he looks like he's a sinner too. Look a little closer. You'll see a difference. The problem is, people don't want to look closer. That book is set up, it's a wonder. But you've got to dig. The Bible says hid treasure. You got to dig for hid treasure. Proverbs 2. You'll see a gold nugget or something laid on the ground. That lets you know there's something deeper. You got to get in there. Brethren, the Bible is set up that if a man doesn't want truth, the Bible will provide him with the very excuse he needs to deceive himself. And that's an awesome thing. That's a fearful thing. And you need to understand, that book will pull out where your heart's at. I promise you. It'll pull out where your heart's at. The skeptic looking says, these numbers don't match up in Chronicles and Kings. Ha! The believer says, no they don't. God's trying to show a bigger picture here, and if we'll dig, we'll get the true picture. And you'll find that all those things that seem to be contradictions aren't. They show and reveal more truths and reveal the full picture. But the book's set up, just like the Lord was, to provide a man the excuse he's looking for if he doesn't want truth. And it'll reveal where your heart's at. Look here, brethren. Let's go on. Real quick, go to Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Notice that they wanted to believe about Moses and Aaron what they wanted to believe. They didn't want the truth. They didn't want the truth. You've killed the people of the Lord. The people of the Lord. A bunch of rebels. Galatians chapter 1. Real quick, look at verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Guys, Lord has you do anything? Don't you ever develop a cavalier in your face attitude of like, hey, don't like it, lump it. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Don't take that attitude. Don't do that. But also don't try to be a man pleaser. Please God. Men don't want it? Okay. But don't get a rotten attitude. Look here, go back to number 16. And I really want you to hang with me. Hang with me. Number 16. Look what it says in verse number 41. Ye have killed the people of the Lord. So I want you to notice something. I want you to notice they didn't know what was of God and what wasn't. They didn't know who was of God and who wasn't. And they didn't know the way of the Lord. They didn't. Brother, you and I need to be careful. This crowd here, they didn't know what was of God and what wasn't. They didn't know who was of God and who wasn't. But we've got folks today, brother, that are, I'm telling you, I think it's showing us the great lack of discernment among professing Christians. And too often the case, I think it's Christians that all they have is profession and not really born again. But even among those many that may be born again, there's a great lack of discernment. Brother, the independent Baptists can be some of the worst ones. If you just scream and yell, or if you just have the right inflection of your voice, or use the right terms, or have the right songs, you can pull it off on the saints, man. Because people in our churches, especially independent Baptist church, have gotten so used to a certain format and way that they can't see truth if it bit them. And I'm not trying to be, I'm just being honest. It's scary. And what's responded to, what's responded to is emotionalism and certain phrases and a certain format rather than Bible. Amen. The Holy Ghost bearing witness with something. You better be careful or you'll fall prey to it. But sometimes saints are afraid even to be real. They'll copy certain ways of praying. Certain ways, because they're like, well, that's how it's supposed to be. That's a certain format. And they don't even, they don't even know who they are anymore. Be yourself. Be who you are before the Lord. Get in that book. If you're not careful, brethren, you'll fall prey to something. But I want to tell you something, brethren. I have said, brethren, it takes place. Somebody was telling me, somebody said, Brother Knox one time said he went and was preaching and just, and on purpose, got into a role of something and said some things that were just plumb wrong. And people, amen, amen, you know, and not getting a... You can get to rolling with something, brethren. Listen, brethren, I'll put your mind at ease. You never have to worry about amen and me. If you, hey, listen, look here, if something's on your heart between you and God, you say amen, that's fine. But brethren, look here, I'm going to take and put out what I believe God wants to put out, and it doesn't matter. You understand? Be careful, brethren. You can, and I'm not against that. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying people can get into a rhythm and a roll, and they don't even know what's being said. Brother yesterday said, it was one time I was a preacher preaching at an old church way back in the days, and he said, "Brethren, somebody's stealing your horses," and everybody just sat there. And he kept preaching. He goes, "Brethren, they're stealing your horses outside." And just nobody. And finished up, and they said they went outside, and everybody's horses were gone. And he said, "I tried to tell you," but it's like, brethren, don't get like that. Don't get like that to where you're just, amen. Use your head. Let's think. I'm being honest. You can fall prey to something, brethren. Be careful. Look here. Watch this thing. Real quick. Psalm 103. Oh, brethren. We're just a mess, man. I told the kids, I told them the other day, I said, can you imagine? You read over there in Matthew. Jesus got in a ship and sat down and the people stood. Let's get spiritual, brethren. Let's get right. Y'all stand up and I'll sit down. And we'll take. But I'm just telling you, can you imagine if somebody sat down and preached? I tell you what, if a man sat down and preached, I wouldn't listen to him for nothing. How can somebody be full of God? You better watch your mouth. I'm a lazy, I tell you. You better watch your stuff, man. Watch. That is fine. Have some fireworks. But there better be some rain with it. There better be some substance to it. Psalm 103. Look at this. Verse 7. He made known His ways unto Moses. his acts unto the children of Israel. Did you see that? They didn't know the ways of the Lord. All they knew was his acts. They just saw what God did. Moses knew the ways of the Lord. Moses had a walk with God and he knew the ways of the Lord. And that's what you and I should have, brethren. I pray some of the saints today, they can see what God does done. Is do. But brethren, get in there and walk with God. Have that relationship with Him. The ways of the Lord. Now, go back to number 16. If you hadn't got anything I've said, if you've slept through the fire, that's fine. I understand. I don't blame you. I'd fall asleep on me too. But stay awake right now. I want you to get this next part. I really want you to get this. Watch this thing. Number 16, verse 42. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron. Now, everything's critical here. Watch what we're... Everything here is critical. That they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. So let's just suppose, here's Moses and Aaron. They come out, right? And they're just like, what in the world? Aaron, what's going on here? Mo, you got me? I don't know, man. I don't know. And there's a whole people, right? And they're like, you killed the people of the Lord! And they look, right? And they look over there. And I mean that cloud, right? Lord's presence rises up on that thing. And God's manifesting Himself. And it's like, uh-oh. So watch what happens. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. So they left and they went over to the tabernacle of the congregation. Now watch what happens. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, and put fire there in front of the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there's wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. Now, I want you to notice something. Moses and Aaron, if you'll notice something, didn't do what the Lord said out of love for the people. That's the thing that God honored. What are you saying? What did God tell them to do? Get away. Get up from the congregation. I'm going to consume them in a moment. They didn't. They fell flat on their faces. And God hesitated. God hesitated. And instead of consuming them as in a moment, He sent a plague which gave them enough time to do something. And you better get what I'm trying to tell you today. It is the nature of our glorious God. Our God is unbelievable. Now, He's holy. Please hear me, everybody. God is holy, so He must always punish sin. Amen. But He's so loving and compassionate. He's always looking. He's always looking for that way to show mercy. You see, listen, watch this. If God had wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, He did not have to come down to earth. He didn't have to tell Abraham. But He did. Why? Because Ezekiel 22, the Lord says, I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap and make up the hedge before me, lest I come to destroy. The Lord was coming to destroy the land there, Judah, Jerusalem. He was coming to destroy it. And He said, I'm looking. As He's coming, He said, I'm looking. Is there not a man? Is there not somebody that will get in front of me and stop me and say, Lord, have mercy, that will intercede? And He couldn't find anyone. And in Ezekiel, He said he had to carry things through. Listen, in Genesis, the Lord didn't have to tell Abraham. But He did. Because He knew the kind of man Abraham was. And He let Abraham get him down to 10 people. No doubt Abraham's going, Lot, it's you, your wife. There's two girls at home. At least two girls married. Their husbands. We know of eight at least. Lot, surely you've tried to influence, do something for somebody for God's sake. He got Lord down to 10. I told you before, Balaam's ass. But the angel of the Lord had that sword ready. The Lord could have killed Balaam at any time. Why did He do it that way? He did it that way, brethren, no doubt, because He's looking for a chance to show mercy. His holiness requires Him to punish. So He's standing there with that sword. And that ass sees Him and takes off. And there's Balaam. You no good. What's wrong? Gets back in. So the Lord You know what he does? He moves down to a more narrow place. Brethren, the Lord could have took him out. Brethren, do you really think the Lord's limited? The angel of the Lord was limited that? No! He's given another chance. His holiness requires. This time the ass, bam, rams up against the wall, mashes his foot. Oh, he's mad. Lord moves down. And notice now, the Lord's given chances, but it's getting narrower and narrower. Young folks, anybody here listening on tape, God may be trying to get your attention, but like the brother said, everything's going to narrow down. If you keep persistent in your rebellion, that thing's going to get narrower and narrower. Very narrow. Finally gets to a place to where that ass can't maneuver. And you know what? Lord's going to say, you know what the ass finally does? It falls down flat on its face. And Balaam beats the daylights out of it. And God lets the ass talk and, you know. And Balaam finds out, oh my. Lord said, your way's perverse before me. He was going to kill him. But he had mercy. He could have killed him at any time, brethren. God, brethren, these things show us that God is looking. Listen, it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's holiness requires Him to deal with sin and rebellion. He must! But being also that nature of His with compassion and mercy, He wants to show compassion and mercy. But listen, He provides opportunities. Amen. If someone will take it.
Amen.
If the individual will take it, and if others will try to intercede on their behalf. Brother, if you don't get anything from what I've ever preached, I want you to get this. I do. There's a principle here, brethren. Brethren, you and I, your prayers could be the thing holding back God from really bringing something down on someone whose way is perverse before the Lord. There may be someone here, you know what? This thing's getting narrow, man. God's giving you opportunities, but you are too stubborn to see it. You better wake up. Look here. Moses, you know what the Lord told Moses and Aaron? Look what they said. It said, and the Lord said, verse 45, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume as in a moment. He said, get up from this congregation. I'm going to consume them in a moment. You know what Moses and Aaron did? You know what they could have done? Lord, thank you for the warning. I am out of here. And ran. They could have. You know what the Lord would have done? Poof. In a moment. Just like He did those 250. In a moment. You know what those two precious men did? By the way, brethren, what did that crowd just say? You kill the people of the Lord! They've been murdered. It's like most Bible, even Baptist, man, they'd have been like, get them, Lord! Sick them, Lord! Get them, let me watch! I'm Moses and Aaron. But they didn't get away. They could have been like, Lord, whoo! Ain't got to tell me twice, I'm out of here. No, sir, they fell on their faces. And God hesitated. The reason I say God hesitated, brethren, He did not consume them as in a moment. He started a plague. And it gave Moses time to tell Aaron. So if you get the picture, Moses and Aaron were still on their face. I'm just being honest, brethren. They're on their face, and this is the picture. And Moses says, Aaron, go get a censer and put incense there on. And Aaron gets up and goes, does it. And Moses evidently stays right there. Listen to me. Please listen to me. Brethren, Moses and Aaron didn't stand and say, do it, Lord. They fell upon their faces. Take your Bible, go to Luke 23. Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 34. Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They part His raiment, cast lots. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. You don't see Moses and Aaron going, Lord, we ain't done it wrong. Bunch of rebels. Thought they'd learned their... Lord! Amen. Me and Aaron will watch. No, sir. No, sir. Oh, brethren, please be careful. Please be careful lest you get a vindictive attitude. Warning God. Look at Moses and Aaron. God is standing up for their behalf. But you know what they do? They fall flat on their faces. 2 Corinthians 12, real quick, verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul said, I love you more, you love me less. Don't matter, I'm going to love you more. Amen. Amen. Can't beat it. Listen. Notice, brethren, Moses and Aaron didn't get away from the congregation. They fell right where they were upon their faces. If they had ran away, the congregation would have been consumed in a moment. Just like Balaam's ass, Moses and Aaron did the only thing they could do. They fell flat on their faces. This caused the Lord to hesitate. He didn't consume them in a moment. He instead sent a plague, which gave Moses and Aaron time to act. You know what the Lord could have done? He could have just simply removed Moses and Aaron and said, guys, I'm going to do this. Get you out of the way here. You know, just like he did with Lot. The angels took their hand. But he didn't. He gave warning and then dealt as circumstances dictated. Brethren, may God give us wisdom, mercy, and compassion. You may be the only thing standing between a family member or a friend, a relationship, or you may be the only thing standing between God having to go ahead, and I mean deal with that thing harshly, but your intercession. Don't give up. Don't give up. I won't say that there ain't times like the Lord told Jeremiah, don't pray for this people, but make sure it's God telling you, don't give up. Just keep praying. Real quick, look at verse 46. And Moses said unto Aaron, now if you get the full picture here, Moses and Aaron, they were both on their faces. So it's like Moses looks over to Aaron and says, Aaron, get up. Get up, go get a censer. He says, look, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath going out from the Lord. The plague has begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran to the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. So notice something real quick. Notice that this intercession was made by Aaron, the high priest. Who does the Bible say our high priest intercessor is? Jesus Christ. All right. But notice something. Evidently, Moses stayed on his face while Aaron took action. What are you saying, Brother Doss? I'm saying this. If you're doing personal work with people, maybe there's two of you or more, play your part. Pray while others act. Act while others pray.
Amen.
You see that? Both of them were right there. Moses said, Aaron, go get that censer, put on incense, make atonement. And then Moses stayed. Evidently, Moses stayed on his face and prayed while Aaron went and took the action. If you're with somebody, maybe one person's witnessing, you be praying. Both are just as necessary. Pray or play out your part. Pray or play your part, whichever one. Look here, I'm telling you something. Some of you, like maybe your husband goes out to the juvenile center or goes out. Ladies, pray for him while he's there.
Yeah.
Pray. Maybe if you go to the prison with someone and you're just sitting, then be praying. Play your part. Moses stayed there and prayed and went and did he acted there. And notice the compassion. Now they had just called them rebels and accused them of killing the people of the Lord. Basically accused them of being self-willed. You know how they done. They accused them of killing the people of the Lord. You'll see Aaron going, I'll get there. I'm coming. He ran. Listen, Aaron ran into the midst of the congregation. Right in the middle where that plague was when he ran. Right in the middle of it. He ran. Why? Because people were dying. He didn't get an attitude of like, they deserved it. God's just. It's not God just. God is just. It's not God holy. God is holy. God didn't do anything wrong. He's judged them. They deserved it. I'm going to do what I can. Sorry, Calvinism. You know what I'm saying? If Calvinism was so, why not say, well, it's decreed by God. Let it alone. No, sir, buddy. They did what they could. They ran, man. He got the incense and he ran in the midst of the congregation to do what he could. For those people that were almost bent on murder, the attitude they had. Watch this. Brethren, real quick, and I'm about done. Just a couple more things. Hang with me. Notice who was being used to do this. Aaron. The same man that made a golden calf. The same man that, if you'll remember, God was going to destroy Aaron at one time. Moses prayed for him. Here's Aaron. All right. Here's Aaron, who a couple chapters earlier got with Miriam and said, Moses, now look, you that woman you married. But look how God's using Aaron right now. Brethren, What a God, huh? Brethren, what a God. What a God, brethren. What a God! Brethren, I mean, I want you to remember that the next time the devil tells you, you ain't worthy of doing it for God. Huh? You hear me? Next time the devil tells you, you ain't worthy of doing nothing for God. You don't deserve to do nothing. You know what you've done. Listen, Aaron was a priest and you're a believer priest. And don't you buy it. You stand up and say, God, forgive me that in Christ and I'm going to follow the Lord. Don't you let Him throw that on you. Can you imagine? What if Aaron, hey! Some of you that gets these attacks in your mind, the devil's messing with you. What if Aaron hesitated and listened to the devil? The devil said, Aaron, you're going to make an atonement for the people. Aaron, don't you remember the calf you made, Aaron? Oh, it just came out of the fire. Remember, Aaron? Hey, Aaron, remember how you jumped on Moses, you and Miriam? Hey, Aaron, what if you'd paused to listen? More people would have died. Don't listen to them lies the enemy throws at you. You understand me? Listen, Aaron was, at one point, the Lord was ready to destroy him. Moses interceded. And now Aaron is doing what he can to intercede for others. Don't you listen to that stuff. You get that thing right with God and you move on for what God's got for you. Now, the plague has begun. Death is coming your way. Atonement's been made. But will you accept it on your behalf? And I'm just talking to you now and I'm about done. If you're here or listening on tape and you're not saved. You see, notice what your Bible says. Verse 48, and he stood between the dead and the living and the plague was stayed. Aaron was the dividing line between life and death. Aaron was the dividing line between life and death. Christ stands between you and death. Did you know something? The plague has been stayed. It's been stopped because of Christ. Will you leave the dead behind and stand with the living? What did Jesus say one time? Follow me, let the dead bury their dead. I mean, look here. Suppose someone had been like, there's Aaron. I mean, look here. Really, there's Aaron. He's standing there. And one side's the dead, one side's the living. Don't take it personal. We're divided here. One side's the dead, one side's the living. And watch this. And he's standing there, right? Can you imagine if somebody over here was like, but over there's my wife. Over there's my children. Over there's... No, wait a minute. You better stay on the side of living. You better stay right here. The plague's been stopped. There's plague over there. There's death over there. There's plague over there. You can't help it. It's been done. You can't help it. You better stay right here with the living. Right there, Aaron's that dividing line. You better not cross over. My brethren, listen. 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 Please. Jesus Christ is the dividing line between life and death. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Listen, I told my children, I'll tell y'all here, between God and any man, God must be first. God must win. God gets your allegiance. Listen, it can't be, listen, if it comes down to mom and daddy, husband, wife, children, whatever, and Christ, choose Christ. Choose Christ. What happened? Look at verse 50. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. You know what he did after Aaron finished? He returned, the Bible says, unto Moses, under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. After Aaron made atonement, he returned for he'd come from, to Moses. Christ has accomplished His task. He's made the atonement, and the Bible says He's now seated at the Father's right hand. Finished. You don't sit down until the job's done. And Christ sat down. The atonement is complete. It's finished. It's done. Aaron and Moses did all they could do. And Christ has done all He can do for you to make a way for you. Now what will you do with Him? What have you done with Him? Pontius Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus which is called Christ? The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Christ has done all. What have you done? What will you do with Him? Our Father, I thank You for this time, this morning. Father, so much contained in these passages. the lost. Challenge and conviction, Lord, to the saved. Father, may we that know You, we that are believer priests, have the same compassion and earnestness that Moses and Aaron did. Father, help us to play our part, be it to pray or to act. Father, help us to have the same spirit as Moses and Aaron, and I believe Abraham did, and amazingly enough to save in Balaam's ass. Lord, to see the judgment that others can't even see. And Lord, help us to do our part to intercede on their behalf. Father, help us to see, Lord, this. Help us to see this. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. I believe, Lord, I believe Scripture shows that You hesitated. You didn't consume them in a moment, but You started a plague. You gave them time to act if they would. Lord, help us to intercede. And Lord, help us to not just intercede, but then also act when You would have us to act. Lord, You gave Aaron and Moses time to do something. A lot died, but not as many as could have been because of intercession and action. Lord, help us to know how to apply what Your Word has shown us today. And oh Father, if there's someone here or listening on tape that has never accepted the atonement that You have provided in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, please, by Your Spirit, draw that person to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, I pray. They may know about the Lord, but help them, Lord, to know that they truly know the Lord Jesus personally. Father, Aaron did what he was supposed to do and then returned. Lord, Father, the Lord Jesus has accomplished and finished the task and is now seated on Your hand, Your right hand, soon to return. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here listening on tape that's never received Christ Jesus personally, never been reconciled to You through His atonement, Father, I pray today would be the day that that would take place. Lord, if anyone's under conviction, don't leave them alone, Lord. Deal with them. Stay on their trail. Please, please. Father, we ask this according to Thy will in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.